Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Just an idea, and she had dessert and some coffee. Thank you, Dave.
Sure.
Mike Hoss joins us now, voice of the Saints, to talk about the upcoming season and him and all kinds of stuff. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Johnny. Good morning to you.
Have you been, here's the deal. I remember talking to Zach, and he told me that he was calling games in his laundry room, I think, is what he did, watching tape. I'm just curious, what have you been doing to get ready?
There's two sides to it. The research side, I've got 1,000 pieces of paper and sitting in front of me right now about, you know, this team and stats and what they do last year and how that guy, what the starter have in 2020. So you have kind of that side of it where you're trying to commit to memory, you know, the player, three or four things about him. And, you know, eventually I turn my attention to the Ravens as well. But, you know, right now it's about just kind of really getting some of the change. And then the other side of it is, and you know, what I'm doing is I'm listening to like every game Zach and Deuce have done in the last, you know, two, three years, mm-hmm. just listening to the broadcast, listening to the cadence, listening to how much time Zach, you know, utilizes, and then what Deuce utilizes, and then how much time is there before the next play, and really just listening for kind of cadence and that kind of bounce. Because what I found initially was that there's not a lot of time. I mean, there's not a lot. You say the play, you paint the picture as best you can with as much emotion as you can, and then you shut up and you let Deuce do the analysis, and then it's time for the next play. So that's why the importance of knowing the player, knowing a couple of stats, knowing these kind of things, because you don't have a lot of time to just fumble around and go, hold on, let me get to that. Oh yeah, you know, 2 sacks in 2019, whatever. You don't have that kind of time. So it's.
I think that's fascinating. So what you did is almost timed, like how long Zach would talk or something, or how long he would have between.
Yeah. Time it per se, like in a clock, but I listen to the play. You know, Zach describes it. Henderson would do this. I'd listen to those as well.
Yeah.
They do the same thing. You describe the play, but once the play, you know, pass from Breeze to Michael Thomas across the 25, gain of 7, you know, brings up 2nd and 3. You're done. What did that take me? 7 seconds? 8 seconds? And then by that point, the
Seconds then. I mean, when you're watching it unfold on the field, you don't really know what's going to happen. So
right, but it's about a 7-yard play is about 8 seconds. So now the 25-second clock has started for the next play. Deuce is analyzing that play. Get it back from Deuce. All right, Drew Brees in a gun. He's got 2. But you know what I mean? You're kind of. It is that. That's the cadence I'm looking for. So I'm not going 8 seconds here, 7 seconds mm-hmm. here, but just listening to you play. You do the play. Maybe there's a you say something else after the play, and then Deuce goes, and then you go. It's really just a back and forth. And so that's the cadence I'm kind of looking for. So that when you know when you're up there, I'm not just spewing stuff from my end and kind of losing that cadence that we're trying to have to begin with.
So how do you, nomenclature, how do you prepare yourself for different formations, et cetera? Do you watch film? What have you been doing?
You know, some of that is just history. You know, some of it is what Zach has told me, what I've, learned from Jim, is that start from the basics. You start from the foundation. You don't try to learn it all at once. You start somewhere, you get the basics, and then you build upon it. I don't need to sit. I don't have the time, quite frankly, that when the play is set to begin, that I've got a quarterback and I can say, I've got Latavius Murray behind him, and I've got Michael Thomas left. I've got Adam Trautman as a tight end on the right side. You don't have that kind of time. If you listen to Zach and or Jim, they're talking about two by two receivers to the left, two to the right, or three to the left, one. Depends on what kind of time you have. You typically always have time for the quarterback. He's under the center. He's in the pistol. He's in the shotgun, that kind of thing. He's got one back behind him. But you don't have a lot of – you're not sitting around going, okay, let me just tell you where everybody is. You don't have that kind of time.
The last thing you want is, well, this guy's over here and that guy's over there. Oh, wait, what's this guy doing? I don't think they want you to do that, do they?
Right. No, you just – exactly. You don't – in an effort to be – keep it simple, stupid, the KISS – philosophy is exactly that. I mean, because they're doing three things. They're either listening to it on the radio, whatever they have to do, listen on the radio, or they're at the game, listening to it, watching the game, or they're at home listening to it with the television on. So, we have a unique situation in New Orleans and not everybody has, in that most of the radio audiences around the league are worried about their radio audience. they're not right. We always take into account the people at home who are actually watching the play, but yet listening to us, which is a great thing. But so it's a little different than just doing radio per se alone.
Have you had dreams about this, nightmares, et cetera? I would have to bet that you have.
Yes. Yeah. It's, it's
of what nature, if you can, what have a couple of them been like?
Well, the dreams are that everything goes smoothly, and that's
oh really?
That's
you dream at night, that everything's going smoothly,
that it goes smoothly, that everything goes as planned. Deuce and I sit up there like we've been, like we stood in each other's wedding, and we do the football game, we have some fun, the Saints win, and the people at home get a sense of the game, from the emotion, from the tone in our voice. That's the, the dream.
Wait, that's the idea, Mike. What I'm asking is that a dream you're having at night when you're sleeping?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
because usually a dream is to keep your head from exploding, right? And you get your fears out of the way. So that's interesting to hear that. You must be pretty damn confident.
No, that's the dream. The nightmare is that it doesn't all go smoothly.
All right.
So the dream is the good, hey, that went well. But you have to – the real situation of this is the most – there are 20 games on this schedule, 20. The hardest game I will do of all of those 20 automatically is the Baltimore game.
Right.
The first game, Saturday, August 14th. It's in a brand-new stadium. I've never been there. Well, I've been there, but as a fan. I've never been in the press box. I've got 90 guys on each roster. That's 180. It's my first game. Everybody I've known since the age of two will be listening. And the starters probably won't play a lot, which means I'll be dealing with Baltimore's third-string fullback. And where did he go to school?
Who won't be in the league probably anyway, right?
Right. So literally that first game is the hardest. And so, it's that.
So when you have these nightmares, when you have these dreams of things going wrong, do you not remember names? Do you not have your spotting chart? Are you late getting to the press box? What do they consist of?
I think it's just having a bad overall performance, because that's what it is. It's a performance, And I think it's just, it's like, I did this wrong and I stepped all over Deuce. I missed a break coming back. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on, as in the broadcast, and it's faster. It's like, punt, break, get back from break. Who sponsored that? Who did this? Your live reads, And so there's a lot of things beyond first and 10 at the 25 that goes into it. And so, you know, it's just.
I don't think you're telling me what you're dreaming at night. I don't think I'm getting the real nightmares here. I think you're keeping those to yourself.
There's so many things that can go wrong. I don't like to focus on the things that can go
right.
wrong. I like to focus on the things that can go right. But
well, let me ask it this way: how many times have you sat up screaming in the middle of the night, just out of curiosity?
Oh, not very. I don't do that. I'm okay as that. This is a football game. I'm going to work as hard as I can, have as much fun as I can with Deuce. And, you know, in week five, I'm hoping we're not going, poof, remember that Baltimore game? You know, I'm hoping, you know, it becomes a thing of the past. And the Baltimore game may be fine. Who knows?
You're going to do great. I was just curious about games. We all have dreams about, you know, Lord knows how long I've been out of college. I still have dreams about showing up on a last day and taking a final exam, and I've not been to a day of class. I don't know if you still have those or not.
It frightens me that I'm going to go at some point, all right, Brady's under center. All right, right? I mean, irrespective of who's the quarterback, the mind
even...
to go, all right, Brady's under center. It's like you've been saying it since 2006.
I'm so used to hearing it. I didn't even notice it just now that there was anything wrong with it. So if you don't say anything, I don't think everybody will. Did you say you and Deuce stood in each other's wedding?
No, I'm saying that's what I would like for people to feel like when that Zach and Deuce automatically had a relationship and a friendship. And I know Deuce, and I know we're going to be fine together, but, you know, we don't have what we'll have in game five and game one. I'm not worried about it. If you can't work with Deuce McAllister, then you're the problem.
You got trouble. Exactly.
Right.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. We're going to talk some football. We're just kind of shooting a bow with Mike Hoss is what we're doing for an hour and having some fun doing it. If you got any questions or comments, text them into 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along. He's a good guy, and I was delighted when I heard that he got the gig. And I also want to talk to you, Mike, about Simone Biles. I know you have daughters. I don't know if they were athletes or not, but I have a daughter, and I look at it a little bit differently than a lot of people do, and I'd like to get your take on that as well. 920 and a half more when we come back. We're talking to Mike Hoss, voice of the Saints, here on WWL. 924 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Wednesday, July 28th, hot as all get out, and I'd like to bill it as more than this, Mike Hoss, new voice of the Saints, but we're just kind of shooting a bull for an hour, and I can't think anybody I'd rather shoot the bull with. Mike, how you? Somebody texted in and said, tell Mike to relax, he's going to be fine. You never did seem to be anything but relaxed in any of the time I've ever spent with you, so I know you're going to be fine. Somebody else said, ask Mike if he's worried about cursing on the air. I would sense that what I know about you, you don't cuss it up a lot in real life, do you?
I can.
Yeah.
But I don't, I guess, you know, 30 years of live television.
Yeah.
Your filter's pretty set there. Now, the emotion of a live football game and the fan inside of you and that side. But, as long as you don't give me the ending of the Rams game in 2019 or the Minnesota Miracle, if you don't give me any of those kind of things, I'll probably be okay. If you give me the Rams thing again, I don't know how I would handle it, to be honest. I was on the field when it happened, and so I was, you know, I've listened to Zach and Deuce's call on that, and you know, I thought they handled it beautifully.
Truth be told, there was a slip up yesterday, Mike, where even as long as I've been doing this, boy, it was a lot closer than you'd think it should be. Tell me about quarterback. Well, first off, let me take a step back. In terms of you and Deuce and chemistry, have you all been hanging out together at all? I don't know if you play – I know you play golf. I don't know if he does or just –
No, he does. We hope to get out on the golf course. I talked to Zach recently about trying to get us, you know, all together, you know, maybe on one of their Sundays mm-hmm. off, you know, training camp. You know, it's live tomorrow. It's real, right?
Right.
So Deuce and I will have a ton of time standing together at practice and, you know, doing some post-practice analysis, for digital, for WWL radio, and doing some shows together And so that kind of thing, I think, will be really beneficial, because that's kind of my, I see in my role, is that I'm painting this picture and I'm trying to garner the emotion of the crowd, but then I'm really just talking to Deuce. I mean, not most of what I will be doing, you know, will be almost questions to him. It'll be a conversation that we're having, like, man, you know, whatever the situation may be. So I feel like as that will build even in the next month while we're standing at practice and we see a play, and I'll say, hey, what was, you know, what happened? Was the linebacker out of position there? You know, what happened? You know, and almost as a lead into what he's going to be doing from an analysis standpoint. But that's really, I mean, you know, just get out of the way, you know, and I'm not, I think it's going to be fine. But yeah, I'd love to. I think you spend 4 hours up with somebody on a golf course, and it's a win. You know who you're dealing with. You know about the person you're with, and you know, have some fun. So I do hope to get a chance to do that, just because I'd love to play some golf.
Well, but, I was going to say, you know, if you think about the whole NFL and connections and so forth, you know, you're going to Carolina, New England, Washington, some very nice golf courses in the Virginia area, Seattle, Tennessee, Philadelphia. Might be getting kind of cold at that time of year, but man, you guys could wind up on Saturday afternoons playing some of the nicer golf courses in the country. But that's just something I'm trying to set up for you. Tell me about training camp. What are you going to be looking for most? Quarterback? That's what gets the most attention, but there are a lot of other needs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, how do you not? I mean, it's kind of, let's get the quarterback situation out of the way. I think it's going to be very difficult to gauge. I mean, yeah, it's a competition, and so you'll look at who's with the ones more than who's with the twos. I don't think we're going to learn much from training camp in the quarterback battle. I'm not sure we're going to learn much in the preseason with the quarterback battle. That's my opinion. I don't have any idea. I mean, we're supposed to be meeting with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis this evening, kind of the pre-training camp, and that, you know, I'd love to find out just that. Whereas most of the questions, I think, are going to be, when are you going to name a starter? When who's going to be your starter? When are you going to name it? And my question is going to be like, would you possibly name your starter on the Wednesday before Green Bay? Because what in the world do you benefit by telling anybody who your starter is? So I think that while that position we are going to scrutinize pass by pass, right? It's one I think that is hard to really to divulge in unless – the Saints give us something. And you can, again, look at who's with the ones and who's with the twos, but I think it's just going to be, you know, I don't think we're going to know a ton about the quarterback battle. So that being said, it is what it is. It's something that we'll be talking about daily.
I think that's great. You know, the way you said it though, Mike, is what can you possibly gain by announcing a starter before you have to, which is a Wednesday, right? I guess before the Green Bay game. And even then, do you have to announce a starter or not?
It'll pop it down. But I mean, at some point, you know, who knows? Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, and I don't know any of this to be true, but if I'm Sean Payton, he's never had this luxury, right? Since 2006, everybody knew a starter. Everybody knew what was going on. So I'm like, we'll see. We'll see who's going to, you know, who steps up. Why give anybody any ounce of advantage? I wouldn't. And so, you know, that's an opinion of mine. That is not based on fact.
Right. I'm optimistic. Yeah, so I think Jameis Winston is going to come through big time. I really do. I hope I'm right in that. I just get that feeling. I think it's going to be a good season for the Saints, maybe because we've had some adversity already, and it seems as though we're up against it, and sometimes it's usually the team. You know, Mike, every year in the NFL, there's a team that is not really as good as you think they're going to be, and there's a team that surprises you and comes out of nowhere, and I think, not that the Saints are coming out of nowhere, but I think the Saints might be that team this year. Tell me about other matchups you'll be looking for in training camp.
Well, you know, if we'd had this phone conversation 2 weeks ago, I think it would have been totally different. You know, I mean, the offseason was kind of, you know, smooth and just kind of cruising right along. We get the draft, OTAs, and, you know, and again, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, well, what positions are you looking at? I would have talked about wide receiver, and I would have talked about interior defensive line, but I had no idea about David Onyemata and then Mike Thomas. So now you got 6 games without Onyemata, and then you have 6 weeks with the reserve PUP for Mike Thomas. And now those positions already not questionable, but something that you were looking to maybe get some more, you know, support in those areas, because they lost Malcolm Brown, they lost Sheldon Rankins. And so on the interior side. So now I think those two positions in general are going to be, are they going to bring somebody in? You know, certainly they've got some money for the, you know, really for the first time in a while, they've got some cap money to spend. If they want to bring in a DB, they want to bring in interior defensive line. If they want to bring in a wide out, I mean, I feel like they will just bring in a wide out of some kind. I mean, they're looking at a bunch of different people. They'll have people in, people trying out. So I think though, and then DB, I think from a defensive backfield, if there's somebody out there that'll make this team better. Now they're not going to just do it. I don't feel this team is like it was maybe in 18, 19, and 20, which was really, in my opinion, was a win now mentality. I think they're in a win now. Everybody's in a win now mentality. I mean, who isn't? But I think they're not going to make a move just to make a move. It's got to be a smart move. This team doesn't do that. This team builds around the foundation blocks that they have, but Mike Thomas is one of those foundation blocks. That's who you build around. Alvin Kamara, you know, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis. So I don't think they'll make just, you know, moves to make a move, but they've with wide receiver, interior defensive line, cornerback, you know, they could use some support there. So those are the areas. And then I think for me, there's always some guy who's going to be the guy we did not know about, you know, from some school that we'd never heard of, who is going to come in and kind of catch our eye, you know. And I think, so you always wonder who that will be. There's always somebody. I don't know who it'll be, but there's always somebody. So you look forward to that.
What I'm looking for, I think it's a great observation about the Saints and win now and window closing and all of that. That's behind us, and it's maybe more of a long-term approach. You hate to say that because it's not that it was not a long-term approach before, but I understand fully what you're saying. I'm looking forward to seeing what Sean Payton can do, if you want to use the metaphor of a mad scientist in the lab, because he's got different ingredients now, right? He's got to change a lot of stuff, and I think that's going to be exciting to see.
Well, I guess that goes back to the fundamental question of who's your starting quarterback, mm-hmm. right? If it's Jameis, now you're right. You can run the same offense, but you've got way more possibilities moving Jameis around, more mobile. You know, Drew was more evasive. Jameis is more mobile, so you can run the same offense, but with a thousand different variations, RPOs, and all these things. Get him on the outside. But if it's, you know, if it's Taysom, well, then it's going to feel like an entirely different offense. And so you're right, but either way, Sean Payton is in the mode of, I've got some new toys here. What can I do? So, again, that's based on opinion. We'll find out maybe more today from Sean. Probably not. Mm-hmm. You know, pre-training camp press conferences ranked right up there with pre-draft press conferences. You know,
pre-draft. Wait, now, hang on a second. Let's not dump all over too much because we want people to listen this afternoon.
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, they're going to tell us what they tell us.
No, I know.
And they're not going to lie. But
I'm just looking at what I'm getting ready to read here, Mike. That's all.
You're going to promote our training camp?
Yes, I am.
Well, look, I'm a part of the coverage tonight, so it is what it is.
I know. I understand. It is time for Saints training camp. WWL's got you covered with the best sports team in the game today at 5. Listen for the official kickoff, Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis's press conference, which you never know. You never know what tidbit you're going to pick up. Plus, live coverage from Saints legend Bobby Hebert, Mike Haas, who we're talking to now, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak with the latest Saints news, interviews, and pro analysis. And back home at the mothership, Christian Garrick and Mike Dettillier with expert opinion. NFL insiders agree this will be the most interesting camp in Saints history with so much on the line. You can hear it first on Saints Radio, WWLAMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. It starts for real. Mike Haas is excited, and we're excited to talk to him. We'll continue the conversation when we come back. It's 9:36, time for traffic now on WWL. 9:40, talking to Mike Haas here on WWL. I'm Tommy Tucker, Mike Haas, new voice of the Saints this afternoon. It all starts training camp coverage here on WWL with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis's press conference. Mike, this could sound bad to say it this way, and I don't mean it to at all, but in terms of Drew Brees and Sean Payton, not same old, because it was a good same old, right? It was a good thing where we knew we were in the running every year. We knew it. We had a chance. But I'm kind of looking forward to this season for the differences that we're going to see. Are you?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, there's a newness to it. I mean, you have to go into it, and I'm always careful about this, that, you know, we were an aberration for 15 years. Mm. I mean, you don't have a quarterback come in, you know, a free agent with some shoulder questions, and then his first year takes you to the NFC Championship game and eventually a Super Bowl, and you go 13-3 every year and nobody bats an eye. I mean, we have become so used and spoiled with winning at 13-3, 14-2. Oh, that's good. That's great seasons. You know, that's, I mean, it's become so expected. So you can't ever take anything away from what Drew did. I mean, I didn't mean to at all.
That's, you know, not what I'm saying.
No. I know you didn't. But I'm saying I always feel like when we start talking about what we're getting ready to talk about, which is, you know, possibilities with someone else at quarterback, you know, a playbook that maybe gets expanded. But, you know, Drew was so good. If you talk about anything else, it's like you're beating on him, which no one would ever do, right? So, but I think it's the unknown, and that is, again, of my opinion, that I think Sean relishes. And you and I maybe already talked about this. And
that's what I'm trying to say right there, what you just said, because of that.
Right. The new, like the unknown. If you think about the Tampa playoff game last year here, so that week of preparation, the Buccaneers go, well, we got film on Drew? Yeah, 15 years. What do you want? We have 7 hours of it. Mm-hmm. Every pass he's ever thrown, right? So, but Drew and this offense was still effective. Drew didn't play very well in that game, but they were still effective because they were awesome and they had great play calling. But but yet every team knew what the Saints were going to do. So now, as I said before, there are 31 teams who have no clue what this team is going to do or look like, because who's going to be the starter? That's everything in this picture. And so it's like, I think in that sense, there is a newness about it and a maybe a spark for Sean to go, here's some things that I've maybe wanted to do, but didn't do. And whoever's at quarterback, I'm going to have kind of some new things. And I think just the ability to go into training camp and not have everybody know your offense and what you're going to do has got to be a unique feeling that I think Sean, you know, embraces. I think, you know, I hate to put words in the man's mouth, but I think that I would, you know.
And as a fan, it's a blank canvas, but we have a very talented artist, if that makes sense.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, here's the thing about Jameis. And I don't, you know, when we talk about Jameis, then people always go, well, I guess we're just not, you know, we're saying that Taysom's not going to be, I don't know. Certainly he doesn't have the resume, doesn't have the history that we can look at. There were some things I found out. Like, I think the year off last year for Jameis was the most beneficial year off a quarterback could ever have, period. You know, he looks good. He's just lean. He was such a good teammate last year. He got to be in the quarterback room with Drew Brees and Pete Carmichael and all those people and Taysom for a year. And so I separate him from his Tampa years already. And I think most people are not a huge fan of him when he was in Tampa. You know, I mean, and so, but, you know, when he was in Tampa, so for his first 5 years, 2015 to 2019, he threw for 19,737 yards. Only one other person threw for more yards in their first 5 years in the NFL, Peyton Manning. But conversely, Jameis was asked to win it all. We're going to win. We're going to win on your shoulders. You know, it's on you. And so when he was good, he was good. When he was bad, obviously with the interceptions, he was bad. But, you know, it just takes time. So I see it's not just a fresh start. I see a whole new person a literal whole new person at that quarterback. And again, it may be Taysom, you know, but I'm just saying what he has been asked to do, and what I would say, the difference being that, you know, they sit down with Jameis, assuming it's Jameis, and or Taysom, and you go, look, it's a system. It's a system. You don't have to, we're not asking you to win the game, right? Mm-hmm. Don't lose it. Be smart. Make, you know, it's a quick hit offense, short, quick drop backs. But maybe, you know, maybe it's different now with Drew not there. I just think that, as you said, I think there's a freshness about it, because you've got a former number one pick in Jameis Winston who is getting a new start. And I also
and got
think
the skills.
NFL coaches.
How could you have a better story than that? How can you not root for this guy and root for the whole organization, Sean Payton? If he and it could just be a success story that's just like crazy good, almost hard to believe, like the stuff of movies, right?
Well, and I think coaches, there's a certain, and I'm not talking about Sean, but I think coaches have this intuition or ego where they can fix. I can fix that guy. Yeah. That guy's got skills, and we've seen it. Guys, you know, come in that maybe have blemishes around the league. They come here, or they come to other teams, and they get this fresh start, and they're different people. And so, you know, I feel like, yeah, he's young. It's not like he's 32.
Right.
You know, he's a young player with a fresh start, with an offense, with Sean Payton. Man, and a year under his belt where he just got to sit back and watch. So, you know, I'm kind of like you. I mean, I am excited. But I also think that for the first time in years that this team also relishes being under the radar. They're not being talked about even in their division because of the Buccaneers. You know, they're not being talked about amongst the NFC elite just because they lost Drew, but who knows? You know, and they've certainly got questions at wide receiver, but I think they love being under the radar, and I think they're going to make the most of it, and it's going to be an interesting year. I see this as a playoff team. I don't get into 10-7, right. You know, 9-8. Who knows? I mean, but I do think this is a playoff team. They're playing a very tough division, but I think it's a playoff team.
And I'm not writing Taysom off, but it's been said 1,000 times, and it's obvious Taysom's going to have to replace another player if he's going to be the quarterback, right? That might be a clumsy way of saying it, but he'll be taking himself off of the field at another position if he's a starting quarterback. So in a way, he's kind of maybe impeding his starting quarterback. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had some opportunities last year. I don't know if you can really count them as, you know, come without really kind of a preseason or a regular, kind of come in when a player's injured. And he had flashes. He did, you know, played very well in the Bears game. You know, he's not young. He's not, he's a guy that needs to be, if he's going to be a starting quarterback, it needs to kind of happen now. So you're right. But if his dream is to be a starting quarterback, you know, if it's a true competition in this training camp, it's one opportunity. But if not, you kind of wonder if he says in his head, you know, this is it. I am who I am. I'm a Swiss Army knife, and I'm the best at it. And so I don't know. I don't know him well enough. And I don't know how the competition's going to go. But I think that competition is going to be the foundation for this football team. Because I don't,
Good. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying it will dictate what they look like. But, you know, yeah. I don't think that the same – if Taysom is the quarterback, you're going to have the same offense as they had last year. Whereas with Jameis, I think that is certainly possible. But who knows?
I want to pick your brain real quick before we run out of time, Mike, and that's about the Simone Biles thing. I know you have daughters. Did your daughters play any sports? Are they athletes? All right, 7:54, just a couple of minutes left with Mike Haas. Mike, I don't know if your daughters were athletes or not. I know you have them. Are they athletes? And I was just wondering your take on the Simone Biles thing.
Both of them were more into the theater and arts. My oldest was a singer and performer, did all the Jesuit plays and stuff. So, yeah, you know, it's tough. I think, first off, we look at her, the person. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for her. She's a young lady who's accomplished so much. So let's put her kind of emotions.
And she's only 24. Person. That's what I think people don't realize. This is not Tom Brady that's 45 years old or anything, however old Tom is.
And so I feel for her. There's obviously some things she's battling. And so I read earlier, you know, that when she first dropped out, it was like the stress of being the best ever, you know, just the stress of being the best ever was too much. But I think, unfortunately, what's going to happen is that we're not going to remember the best ever. We're going to remember this. And that's the unfortunate part about it. And so, you know, my wife does not follow sports, but she will pick up things and she wonders. That's why I always use her as my barometer, you know, and she had wondered, well, this girl was a role model for so many young people, women and men, whatever. You know, she's just a role model. So what does this do? And I hope nothing, because she's accomplished so much. And so I think her emotions and her, you know, where she is mentally should come first. You know, she's already accomplished a great deal, but it's just the whole thing is just so unfortunate. And, you know, for her, for the team, you know, and then you wonder what happens to the legacy.
And, you know, it's not unique to sports either. And I think people need to remember that Dave Chappelle had a hard time coping with his success because people either expect it at that same high level or they expect even more, and that's hard to do.
Right, and it's hard to sustain it. It's hard to meet other people's expectations. Those are the rarest of elite athletes and our comedians. The pressure they put on themselves is already humongous, right? And so then to try to make sure that you satisfy everybody else at that age, it's tough. I mean, I feel for her. I feel for the team. So, you know, it is hard, right? It's about meeting other people's expectations, and that's tough to do.
I think you also have to remember that U.S. Gymnastics USA, whatever the name of the organization is, really did let the entire, you know, that Larry Nassar mess, that mess is not an appropriate phrase, but there are a lot of, she's been through a lot. Let's put it that way.
Right. This is, you know, this is not the end of the chapter they desired, certainly, right? You know, kind of this exclamation point, and you know, hopefully she comes out of it, and she's a better person, you know, and she feels better about herself. You know, that's all. I really care. I guess now I'm a father of two daughters.
Me too.
My first instinct is this girl, this young woman at 24. Forget everything else. Let's focus on her a little bit before we start, you know, labeling everything.
It's not as much about the first 24 as the remaining years of her life that are important. That's the way I look at it. I think you do too, as a dad. Mike, I enjoyed it. I really do. We'll listen to you this afternoon, and of course, we'll be talking a lot during the season, my friend. Thank you.
You bet, Tommy. Appreciate it.
Pleasure as always. All right, 9:57 now to Newell Norman we go. Hey, Newell, how are you?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.